Adam, of the one to come. First part, what did the Lord gave us in the past? Three things. Number one, the Lord has given us the law. Number two, the Lord given us His Son, Jesus Christ. And third part, the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit. I want you to write that down. First of all, the Lord has given us His law. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, He given us the law. 3:20 and chapter 5, verse 20. Romans 3:20, 5:20. He given us the law. And secondly, He given us His Son, Son of God. You write that down? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. To us a son was given. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. This is the gift from the Heavenly Father for Father Day. We have to know what the Lord has given to us so that we know how to respond to what He has given to us. And let me explain. Why would He give us the law? Chapter 5, verse 13. For before the law was given, 5:13. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. So if you just look at 5:13, deep in your heart, you will say, wow, I wish the Lord did not give us the law. If the Lord did not give us the law, then sin doesn't come. Okay? I want to read that one more time. Sing into your mind. 5:13. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. What do you mean by sin was in the world? Right beside sin was in the world, you write down 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, this one man is Adam. Death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men, because all sins. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, because sin entered the world through Adam. The law entered into the world through Moses. But before the law was given through Moses, sin was already in the world through Adam. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. This word, this statement, it talked to us. It's talked to us. Because at that time, God gave the command to Adam, the tree of the good and knowledge, the tree of the good and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit you cannot eat. The moment you eat it, you will surely die. That's the command given to Adam. And later on given to Eve through Adam. But we don't see that tree. We never eat that fruit. So that's why the law has to be given to us, so that we know that we are sinner. I want you to write that down right beside 5:13. Although sin is not taken into account when there's no law, then why later on God give us the law? You write that down? 3:20 and 5:20, right beside here. 3:20 and 5:20. If God did not give us the law, we don't know that we are sinner. We will argue with God, I've never seen the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I never eat that fruit. Why do I have to die? You know what I mean? Then he gives you the law so that you become conscious of sins, so that you know that you are sinner. Okay? That's 3:20. And then in 5:20, Romans chapter 5, verse 20, the law was added, the law was given, so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that's good to give us law. Although without knowing the law, I don't know that I sinned against God, but once the law was given, wow, I realized that. Thing that I do in this way, I'm wrong. Thing that I do another way, I'm wrong too. So I know what's wrong. And then I realized that I need grace. Okay? Unfortunately, the Jewish people not being honest to himself. They are hypocrite. They have the law, and yet they are hypocrite. They don't realize they are sinner. They thought they are holy people. They thought they can observe the law. They thought they can be righteous in God's sight through the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Let's read it one more time so that we be honest to ourselves. Without the law, we try to deceive ourselves. But with the law, we being honest to ourselves and confess our sins before God. I read that to you, Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sins. We know that we are sinner. Without the law, we don't know that we are sinner. Without the law, we thought that we are very good. Just like Christian, they just come to the church and listen to a sermon, they thought they are very good because they don't read the Bible. But the moment when they read the Bible, they find out that they are sinner. I want you to write that down right beside here. You write Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, all the way to 25, and tell us the reason why our God, our precious Heavenly Father, give us the royal law. Before the law was given, we were locked up in the prison of the law. Okay? Before the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ come, we were held prisoner by the law. We are locked up until faith should be revealed, so that the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, now that faith has come, we're no longer under the supervision of the law. So in other words, when faith comes, we are not under the law, we are under grace. So that's good. That's good that God gave us the law. Although where there's no law, even though we sin against God, our sin doesn't count. Okay? But now he given us the law, we know that we are sinner, and we also know that where the law was given, sins will multiply. But where sins multiply, grace multiply even more. Wow, that is good stuff. Without reading the Bible, we don't know that. reading the Bible, put all these things together, we say, thank you, God, for giving us the law. First of all, so that we know that we are sinner. And secondly, in 3:24, because you give us the law put in charge to lead all of us to Jesus Christ. Right beside Jesus Christ, you write down Gospel of John 1:17. The law was given to us through Moses, but grace and truth was given to us through Jesus Christ. I like that. So without the law is just like what? Just like a thermometer. When you have fever, you don't even know you have fever. By the time when you put a thermometer in your mouth, then you know that, oh, you have fever. When you have fever, what do you mean by that? You need to find a doctor. You understand? When you realize that you are a sinner, that means you need Jesus Christ. You need grace. Okay? Brother and sister, I want you to remind one thing. Right beside law, I want you to write that down. You have to be honest to yourself. Do not deceive yourself or do not let anyone to deceive you. When you read the Bible, the first thing you realize, you are a sinner. But that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. When you realize that you are a sinner, that means you realize you need grace. Because God given you the law, He has no intention to expect you to observe the law 100% by your own strength. You have no ability to do that. You have no ability to do that. How do I know that? You write that down right beside the law. You write down Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian, the black people, change his black skin to become a white skin? No, he cannot. Can the leprous change his spot? No, he cannot. Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. So right beside the law, God has no intention for you to observe the law so as to be declared righteous in God's sight. The reason why God gave you the law, so that you're conscious of your own sins, so that you know that you are a sinner. You know that you cannot help yourself. You know that you have to rely on grace. You have to approach to Jesus and ask Jesus to help you. So I want you to write that down right beside Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. You write down Romans 3:20. You realize that you are a sinner. And then you write down Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. It leads you to Jesus. And then you write down Romans chapter 5, verse 20. You need more grace. Where sins multiply, grace multiply even more. Wow, that's good, right? So when someone asks you, why do we need the law? What would you say? Andy, what would you say? Why God give us the law? So that we have more grace. But that's not the first. Why you need more grace if you're not a sinner? We realize that we are sinner, right? And then realize that we are sinner is not good enough. Realize that you are a sinner, then you need Jesus. Because grace and truth come from Jesus. Where sin multiply, grace multiply even more. Because God given us His Son, Jesus Christ. Because grace and truth come from Him. Does that make sense? So that's good stuff. So don't say, oh, law is no good. Without the law, I don't know that I'm a sinner, I'm okay. You don't know that you are a sinner, but indeed sin has already entered into the world through Adam. You understand? So we have to face it head on instead of to be like an ostrich, you know. Take your head into the sand and if you don't see it, then nothing will happen. Don't do that. I say that one more time. It is good for our Heavenly Father to give us the law. Through the law, we realize that we are sinner, Through the law, we realize that we need Jesus Christ to receive more grace and forgiveness. Okay? First thing, he gave us the law. Then, he gave us the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to be the atonement, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, die for us, and save our life. And then, he gave us the Holy Spirit, so that we understand what the Bible say. Without the Holy Spirit, we won't understand the Bible. We won't understand God's will. Only through the Holy Spirit. And then, when the pastor speaks to you, then you understand what he's trying to say. It's not he helping you to understand. It is the Holy Spirit who helps you understand. Okay? Now, I go to the second part of my sermon. The second part of the sermon is Adam. Adam was the pattern of Christ Jesus. So what does it mean? I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2 verse 15. Has not the Lord made them one? Make them one, that means husband and wife are one. In flesh and spirit, they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. When God made the first person, Adam, why didn't he make Adam and Eve individually? Why he only make Adam? And later on, put Adam to sleep and take a bone out of his rib and to make Eve. Is he not having enough spare part? Is he short of bone? No. The reason is God is seeking godly offspring. The reason why he make only one Adam and Eve is out of Adam, because he wants to have godly offspring. That godly offspring is Jesus Christ. He make one person, Adam. Adam become the pattern of the one to come. Adam become the representation of all men. I want to stop here. Now, brother and sister, you have a choice. You can say that you are the descendant of Adam. If you are the descendant of Adam, because sin entered into the world through Adam, and sin entered into your flesh too, and you become sinner. Whether you know it or not, you are a sinner. And sin brings death. And that's why we're all facing death. Okay? So we have to do something about that, because we are all Adam descended. And that's why the Bible says you need to be born again. When you're born again, that means get rid of that Adam and then join in Jesus Christ. Born again means born from the will of God. 1 Peter 1:23. We are born again through the living word, through the will of God. We need to be born again. That's why the Bible say, Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. No one can see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Because we are all Adam descendant. We need to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. in order to enter the kingdom of God. And how can we be born again? Born again through water. Water means water baptism. And through spirit means spirit baptism. So in other words, you need to be baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ so as to be born again. And you need to be born from the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit has to enter into your body. Then you are born again Christian. Okay? Now, what does it mean by Adam was the pattern of the one to come? Because God created only one man, and Adam is our representation. Whatever Adam do, and we know that we will do the same thing. Because he represents us. In the same way, if you are born again, whatever Jesus Christ do, you will do it too. You have to follow that pattern in order to be saved. That's the main reason for the Adam was the pattern of the one to come. Now, I want to say two things. Thing number one, that reign. That reign over all men. Because of what? Because of Adam. Number two. Sin's reign. If we are descendants of Adam, none of us can escape that. Throughout the human history, there's only two persons I see that escape death. The first one is, anybody know? Enoch. Enoch was taken up to heaven. He escaped death. Another one is Elijah. He escaped death. But we know that in Revelation chapter 11, although Elijah escaped that in the Old Testament time, but he cannot escape that in Revelation chapter 11. Two of the witnesses for God, two of them has to be put to death. Do you remember that? So Elijah eventually still have to die. No one can escape that except Enoch. But you and I also understand certain portions of the Bible. The Bible say in Hebrew chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrew chapter 9, verse 27. What did the Bible say? Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time. When he appeared the second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So we all have to die once. I want you to write down right beside 9:27. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 to 51. There's an exception too when Paul say that. I declare to you, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Right beside here, the flesh and blood cannot inherit kingdom of God. You write down Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. That's why we need to be born again. We cannot take the flesh and blood to inherit the kingdom of God. We have to be born again to have a spiritual body in order to see the kingdom of God, in order to inherit the kingdom of God, in order to enter the kingdom of God. I read that one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. All sleep, that means all die. Not everyone will die. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. Right beside all sleep, you write down Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25. Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. There's two parts that he talked about. As far as Jesus Christ, the resurrection, he who believes in him will live even though he died, because Jesus Christ is resurrection. And then regarding Jesus Christ is the life, you write down 11:26. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? But isn't it the Bible say the wages of sin is death? All has to die. I just mentioned it to you. Only Elijah doesn't have to die. But later on, Paul said that, oh, someone may not have to die. Can anyone tell me at what time that he will not die? I want you to write right beside Gospel of John 11:25-26, right beside 26. You write down 1 Thessalonians chapter 4:13-18. In the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to call your name. When you recognize his voice, you'll be what? Just like my daughter Esther will be resurrected, because 11:25, even though she died, because Jesus Christ was the resurrection, and Esther will be resurrected. She'll be resurrected first. And let's say if Jesus Christ come right now and call my name, and my body will be changed. Okay? My body is a mortal body, and my body will be changed to immortal, and I will be lifted up together with my daughter and go up to the sky and see Jesus. At that moment, some people who are still alive, when Jesus calls your name, your body will be changed, either resurrected or transformed, then you'll be lifted up to the sky. And so that we don't have to go through the 7 years of tribulation. These people don't have to die. Okay? So when you read the Bible, don't just read one portion of the Bible and develop your theology. You have to read more and think it more and understand it more. Then you see a big picture. Okay? Generally speaking, we all have to face death. But specifically, when Jesus Christ come back the second time, some of us may not have to die. The reason why we have to die, Adam has to die, we all have to die. That's why death reigns over all men. But there's some exception. The reason why there's exception, because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Because Jesus Christ say, I am the resurrection, I am the life. He who believes in me, although he die, he will be resurrected because he believed in me. He who lives and believes in me and still alive, when I come back the second time, he won't die. He will be transformed. You understand? So, secondly, not only death reign over all men, we all have to face that. Secondly, sins reign. I want you to write that down. Number one, death reign. You write down 5:17. Let me read that to you. 5:17. For if by the trespass of the one man Adam, that reigned through that one man Adam, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provisions of grace and of the gifts of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. I say that one more time. Okay? I take this away. I erase this. And then I write this. You write down 5:11. That reign. Because Jesus Christ, Adam was the pattern of the one to come. So, because of Adam, that reign. Now, because of Jesus Christ, who reign? What did the Bible say? In Romans 5:17, who reign? Come on. Jesus Christ reign? Oh, come on. I read that one more time, listen carefully. For if by the trespass of the one man, that reigned through that one man, through that Adam, how much more will those is Jesus Christ? You call Jesus Christ those? You know, come on. I'm not reading Chinese, I'm reading English. How much more will those reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Who are those? Those are the one who receive God's abundant provisions of grace and of the gifts of righteousness. Could you do me a favor, answer the question, who will reign? Adam reign. That reign through the Adam, right? That reign. Now, because of Jesus Christ come, who reign? Who? That's why in Romans chapter 5, now that we stand in grace, that's why we rejoice in the glory of God. We stand in grace. Make sure that from the fullness of His grace, we can receive one blessing after another. That is abundant provision of grace. Right beside abundant provision of grace, you write down 1:16-17, Gospel of John. Make sure you got that. Otherwise, you won't reign. Of course, Jesus Christ reigned. I know that Jesus Christ reigned. But the Bible didn't say Jesus Christ reigned. He said, you reign with me. Right? As long as you receive the abundant provisions of grace, you receive the abundant provision of the righteousness, you will reign with Jesus Christ. Is this a good news or is it bad news? Andy, is it good news or bad news? Is it everybody reign? Only the one who receive abundant provision of grace and abundant provision of righteousness. That is his gift for us. Okay. So I realized that who reign? I write down, those reign with Jesus Christ. So in other words, so it's okay. Adam was the pattern of Jesus Christ. That's good news. That's good news. Because that reign over all men through the Adam, now we reign with Jesus Christ. Number two. Through Adam, sins reign. We are all sinners. But through Jesus Christ, who reign? Romans 5:21, who reign? Grace reign. I read that verse 21st. The law was added, the law was given to us, so that the trespass may increase, but where sins increase, grace increase all the more. I like that. Grace increase all the more. So that just as sins reign in death, sins reign in death, when sins reign, we all have to face death. No one can escape. Unless Jesus Christ come back and deliver us. So also grace may reign through righteousness. I want you to write that down, that righteousness. That's the gifts of God. It's not your righteousness. That's the righteousness from Jesus Christ. Okay? Grace reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, now I read that one more time, verse 21. I want to simplify in this way. Sins reigned in death, now grace reigned in life. Thank you, Jesus. I like that. Grace reigned in death. I'm sorry. Sins reigned in death, grace reigned in life. Now I want to stop here. That is very, very important so as to understand what Paul is trying to say. Now, if you don't understand, I want you to stop me, okay? Because that helps you to understand later on chapter 6 and all the other Bible verses, okay? Now, you remember that? What did I say? What is given to us? The Lord given us to us the law. Right? But in 3:20, the Bible clearly stated that no one can declare righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Because through the law, we become conscious of our own sins. Unfortunately, the Jewish people do not understand that. The Jewish people thinking that, oh, God gave us the law, and we have to observe it, and then they deceive themselves. They thought they have done it. No, they haven't done it. But then later on, we look at what Paul is trying to say. In chapter 3, verse 31, do we then nullify the law by this faith, faith in Jesus Christ? Paul say, not at all. Rather, by this faith in Jesus Christ, we uphold the law. Now, can anyone answer me the question? You have been a Christian for so long. I believe that you read the Romans too. Can anyone give me the answer? How do we uphold the law? Is there any contradiction between 3:31 and 3:20? Because the law given it to us so that we are conscious of our own sin. We know that we are sinner. We acknowledge that we are sinner. Now that we acknowledge that we are sinner, we cannot do what the law requires of us to do. And how then Paul say that by faith we uphold the law? What do you mean by that? You know why people, a lot of people, they don't want to read book of Romans? Because you need to put on a thinking cap before you understand all this. And I'm not kidding you. It's so confusing if you don't think about that. Can anyone, any smart guy around here, give me the answer? Come on. I heard that. I heard that right from the email address, don't know say what. You say you're the quickest or you are the what? What? You are the first or something like that? Tell me the answer. You're a proud guy. You're a Muhammad Ali. I'm the quickest, you know? Andy, you better answer my question. You are the cool guy in your email. I want to see how cool you are. Okay, you answer me the question. First of all, you answer the question first. The first guy, something like that, or something like, oh man, that made me sick, you know. You know, even your dad is not the first, and then you are the first, as the first of whatever, okay? So you are the first one to give me the answer. The Bible clearly stated that 320, we cannot observe the law. But now, how come 331, by faith, we can uphold the law? What are you talking about? Can you give me the answer? Oh, now I see that guy here listened to God's word. The answer is exactly what he say. The answer is 517 and 521. Who reign? Who is the overcomer? If you remain to be under the Adam, you are a loser. If you are born again, you be the overcomer. Because those people who receive the abundant provision of God's grace, abundant provision of God's righteousness, you are overcomer. You can uphold the law through Jesus Christ, not by your own strength, by the grace of God, and by His mercy, by His power. Am I right? Am I right? And number two, who reigns? Grace reigns through the righteousness that we receive from Jesus Christ. By His power, or by the power of Jesus Christ, grace reigns. Although I sinned against God, but grace multiplied. He sustained me. He said, don't worry, stand up and do it again. The more you practice it, the more you can do it. Am I right? Remember the first time you go for skiing, you fell, and you get up and do it again, right? Later on, you can sew it like this, right? Until you break your ankle. What do you mean, what? When you sew up, you're gonna fall. So Andy, you're lucky. He saved you. Cool guy. I say that one more time. The law was given so that we realize we are sinners. But indeed, the law was given. He wants us to do the law. After we receive grace, after we receive righteousness, not before. Does it make sense? Hello? Does it make sense? Paul is good. He's very good. Step by step, he tells us that. He raised the question 331, but he didn't give us the answer because it's too complicated. So that's why chapter 4 and chapter 5, then he later on he tell you why. Any other question? No question? I'll end it there. End it here. I read the Romans chapter 5 one time. And then I want to see whether you say what Paul says. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, he say, rejoice in the glory of God at the beginning. And then he say, rejoice in God. That's why we rejoice in God. Although I am a sinner, where sins abound, where sins multiply, grace multiply even more. Because grace reigns through righteousness and through Jesus Christ. I tell you what I mean by under law and under grace. If it's under law, you just sin once and you are dead. If you are under grace, you can sin multiply of times, but you still can stand up. But in the process, you've been disciplined. Does it make sense? Right? You still have a lot of chance. He gives you a lot of opportunity. Because Psalm 103 verse 8, the Lord is slow in anger, rich in love, rich in mercy. Psalm 86 5, the Lord is good and forgiving, abounding in love to those who call on Him. That is grace. Thank you, Jesus. I read that to you in conclusion. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. I want you to write that down. Into this grace, you write down 5:21. Grace ring. And you write down 5:17:2. Those people who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gifts of righteousness, they will reign in life. So that's why we rejoice. That's why chapter 5 verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We stand in grace. We not stand in the law anymore. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How come we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God? Because through grace, through righteousness that we are, that the Lord Jesus Christ given it to us, we can reign in life. When we can reign in life, we can uphold the law. God going to reward us according to what we have done. Thank you, Jesus. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Not everyone, whenever he try, he be successful. No, we try numerous times. Because we try numerous times, we suffer. So that's why we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produce perseverance, telling us not to give up. Persevering produce character. It's the character like Jesus Christ. And then character produce hope. Hope does not disappoint us, because eventually we will receive the hope of the glory of God. Because God has poured out His love into our heart by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Without the Holy Spirit, I won't understand His word. Without the Holy Spirit, when I preach, you will not understand what I'm talking about. Thank you, God, for giving us the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, you see, just as the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we save from God's wrath? Save from God's wrath through Him. For if when we were God's enemy, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? In other words, I want to circle the word, shall we be saved through His life? We not only reign in life through Jesus Christ, we are saved from God's wrath. I want you to circle the word, saved from God's wrath, okay? Because that word saved, you have to refer back to chapter 5, verse 9. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Jesus Christ? Okay? How do we save from God's wrath? It's through His life. Allow Jesus Christ to live in you. When Jesus Christ lives in you, when you are so filled with the Holy Spirit, then God's wrath will not come upon you. Only God's grace. That is wonderful. I like that. This is so beautiful. Okay? So we need Jesus Christ to live in us. When Jesus Christ lives in us, when God looks at us, He looks at us through Jesus Christ. Although we sinned, but we can stand up one more time and do it and practice it. And He will keep on encouraging us to practice it. He tells us to be persevere, not to give up, and keep doing it. One of these days, you can make it. Verse 11, not only is this so,
but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We not only receive peace and reconciliation from Jesus Christ, now we can reign in our own life. We are not a loser anymore. We are overcomer. Verse 12, therefore, just as sins entered the world through one man, death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men, because all sins. For before the law was given, sins was in the world, but sins is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. Gift is better than the trespass. Gift overcome the trespass. For if the many die by the trespass of the one man, Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gifts that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many. When God gave us His Holy Spirit, when God gave us His one and only Son, we realize we can receive God's grace, we can receive God's gifts of righteousness through that one man, Jesus Christ. Overflow to our life, overflow to us. We all receive that as long as we put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Against the gifts of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gifts follow many trespasses. I want to circle one sins, one man's sins, one sin, and circle the word many trespasses. Adam only sins once. Judgment come to all men and condemnation come to all men. But we have many trespasses because of Jesus Christ. The gifts of God brought justification. Wow. We don't just sin once. We sin numerous times. It's so many times that we can't even count. And David say, more than the number of my hair. Because of that, because of the gifts of God, the gifts of righteousness give us justification. Verse 17. For if the trespass of the one man that reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gifts of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ say, I want you to write that down right beside here. Gospel of John chapter 15. Jesus Christ say, the Father is the gardener. Jesus Christ the true vine. And we are the branches. Make sure that the branches remain in the vine. Whatever you do, rely upon the strength and the help and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Eventually, you'll be successful. I don't know, have you ever been investing in stock? Assuming your father give you the money, give you, let's say, $1 million and let you to invest in the stock, and you are so stupid, you buy the penny stock and you lose them all. Your father say, don't worry, I give you another million. And this time you learn a lesson, you don't invest in penny stock, you invest in what? Blue chip. Royal Bank, okay? Invest in Royal Bank. And then later on, Royal Bank bankrupt. You know? You know what I mean? And then your father say, I give you another million to invest. One of these days, you're going to make it. Because he give you abundant provision of grace. An abundant provision of God's righteousness. You understand what I'm trying to say? He keep on providing it to you. He say, get up, stand up, don't worry, be happy, do it. Diane, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Is it good news? Etta, is it good news? You like that? Amen? Okay. So where are we now? 17.
For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gifts of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ? Don't depart from Jesus. You depart from him, you lose everything. You won't have any more resources. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of that one man, Adam, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of that one man, Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sins increase, grace increase all the more, so that just as sins reign in death, so also grace may reign through righteousness to bring eternal life to Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we truly rejoice in the glory, in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in God for your provision. You give us the law first, and then you give us your Son, and you give us the Holy Spirit, so that we become prosperous and successful. We give all the honor and glory and thanksgiving back to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Everybody say, Amen.